This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue working our way through Psalm 119 with Great Spoil and a Lost Sheep. And then we move to Psalm 120 through 122 with I Am for Peace, He Who Keeps Israel, and I Was Glad. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we're gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Merciful and eternal God, your holy apostles Peter and Paul received grace and strength to lay down their lives for the sake of your Son. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit that we may confess your truth and at all times be ready to lay down our lives for him who laid down his life for us, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the festival of Saint Peter and Saint Paul is from Acts chapter 15. Now some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Paul and Barnabas as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Prevail against it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist. Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord and faith of Peter and Paul, well, they're the same. That's why it's no concern that the greatest of the apostles the greatest of the missionaries have to share a feast day. And it's also why the confession of St. Peter from the Gospel works just as well as the confession of St. Paul. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, from Peter's lips, matches perfectly the astounding confession from St. Paul, recorded just after his conversion in Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And immediately Saul proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The same Lord, the same confession of faith. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And against this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the gates of hell don't stand a chance. Of course, this confession is shorthand that has to be filled out. What is the significance of Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God? Peter and Paul grasp the significance better than most, I suspect. Paul, who had once, in his own words, been a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent man, was simply being honest. He wasn't being self-effacing or dramatic when he wrote to Timothy, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." But Peter might have contested that position. "I denied the Lord three times within eyeshot of his face, after bragging that I would die for him." Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he came into the world to save sinners like Paul, like Peter. The church is not built upon Peter or Paul, their talents or their fervor. Hell's gates are not destroyed by saints of old or by heroes today. The church is built and the devil's castle is destroyed by the clear confession of the word that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world to save sinners. Well, to be sure, there must be those to speak, to confess, to preach this word. And so Jesus did indeed call blustering Peter the denier and Saul the persecutor. Was it in part to show just how extensive, how perfect his forgiving love was? That these two shameful sinners were washed of their sins and fed with his body and blood and sent out to feed his sheep and even to compose his holy scriptures. So great is his forgiveness. The gates of hell come crashing down because of his word, not because of personality of the preachers. This is, of course, an essential truth for pastors and professors and those aspiring to these offices to always keep in mind. Not just regularly to assent with a certain casual piety, but to know and to believe and to be astonished that Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, came into the world to save sinners, to save me. Peter and Paul were not impressed with themselves. They were captured and called by Jesus. And you can hear the wonder in their words. Peter, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2. And Paul, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5. That's the heart of the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He came into the world to suffer and die for us sinners. This is the common confession of Peter and Paul, apostles. More than that, it was the life of Peter and Paul, apostles. It is your confession and is your life. And the gates of hell don't stand a chance. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
With our God is the fountain of life. Let us turn to him in confidence, asking that he hear our prayers on behalf of the church and the world. For the church, that throughout the world she may witness to the power of Christ's word, a word that calls the dead to life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and every nation, that our leaders would exhibit honesty and integrity as they lead us in the ways of truth and justice, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who serve in the medical arts, for doctors and nurses, and all those who care for the sick, for hospice workers and those who tend the dying, and for all who conduct medical research, that God would bless them all in their vocations and use their work to further a culture of life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those affected by extreme heat, violent weather, and drought conditions, that God would protect those in harm's way and work all things for our preservation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, the dying and the grieving, that Christ would speak the word that sustains the weary, bringing them the peace that passes all understanding, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the saints who have gone before us, especially remembering on this day the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, we give thanks to the Lord. That God would grant us a share in their eternal joy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious Father, the source of all life and the life that never ends, receive our prayers this day that we offer to you in the name of your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, to show love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, once proclaimed your saving promise through the prophets of Israel and by the apostles and evangelists. You published the good news of your saving promise fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant that we, being instructed in the doctrine of the blessed apostles and evangelists, may faithfully eat his body and drink his blood and declare his salvation to all the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Christ give them for you.
Body of the Lord, give blood for your body.
Christ given for you.
the body of the Lord given for you. The body of the Lord given for you. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.